Greetings and welcome to Leadership Lessons with Pastor Trevor Johnson. I am Pastor Trevor Johnson, and I am thrilled and honored to have this time to share with you, whether you're riding in your car, sitting in your living room, sitting in front of your computer or laptop. I thank you for listening in and being available to hear what I want to share with you, which I think is wisdom and revelation that God has given me for effective leadership. If we're going to be effective leaders, I think there's some things that God wants us to understand and to know. And today I want to talk to you about development as a leader, development, your personal development as a leader. And so the question becomes, are leaders born or are they made? And before I even answer that question, I want to go back to our foundational belief, which is leadership is always about influence. It is always about influence of people and influence with people. That is a gift from God. That's a gift that God has given to us as leaders in order to help us do what He's called us to do. And so don't ever forget that. Don't ever take that lightly. Don't ever take that for granted. That will help you have the proper understanding and perspective about your assignment, what God is calling you to do, and what you are tasked to do, for you to understand that leadership is always about influence. Are leaders born or are they made? I believe it's both. And we're going to base all of what we're going to share today in this short time we're going to have on Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning at verse 4. It is here that the writer says, "The word of the Lord came to me saying," verse 5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Now, God is talking to Jeremiah as He's giving him insight into his calling as a prophet. But we can look at that principle-wise even as He calls us into leadership. I believe that the calling on our lives to be leaders happens long before we're even conceived in the womb. I believe that God already knows, and He knew us before we were even conceived in the womb, and He put a calling on our lives. He ordained us, and He gave us purpose before we were even born. And so if you've been born into leadership, I can agree with that. If you say, "I feel like I've been born to be a leader," or "I was born a leader," I agree with that. If you feel like "I was taught to be a leader and I was made to be a leader," I agree with that too. But the common denominator, it's God who calls us, it's God who makes us, it is God who has ordained us to be leaders. And so we give Him all the glory, all the honor, and then we look to Him for instruction, we look to Him for empowerment, and we look to Him for our agenda. And so He says to Jeremiah, "I want you to understand, before you even conceived, your mama and daddy had nothing to do with this, that I formed you, I sanctified you." It speaks to being set aside for a purpose. It speaks to being separated for a purpose. So it is God who ordains us and gives us purpose as leaders. It is God who chooses us to be leaders. Everybody is not chosen to be a leader. And then He sanctifies us. He sets us apart for leadership according to what the principle that we read just now in Jeremiah chapter 1. And God will spend the rest of your life, leader, developing you, which speaks of forming you. It speaks of Him shaping you. It speaks of Him building you as a leader. And that is God's job that we too participate in, which I'm going to get into in a few minutes. So that's point number one. It's God who calls us, and our calling and our position as leadership happens long before we ever even become one. It happens in the eternity of God. Number two is, God not only calls us, but He equips and empowers us. Because in that same passage, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9 says, "Then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth." That's part of God's development. If He calls you, He's going to equip you. And so God will give you the skills that you need. He will give you the ability that you need to have as a leader. This is all part of your development. As God puts His hands on you, as God shapes and forms you, as God exposes you to different people and allows you to have different experiences, and He develops you by all of that, and He doesn't allow any of your experiences to go to waste. And so again, we give God the credit for that. So God equips us and He empowers us, because what kind of God would He be to call us to a task and not give us everything we need to do that task. And so as you understand that God has called you to be a leader, you also must understand that God equips you and empowers you, and He will do that over your lifetime. He will allow you to learn various things and lessons, and He will give you everything that you need to complete your assignment as a leader. Number three, we see that God then positions the prophet and gives him his assignment. Number three, God will position you, leader, and give you your assignment. It is in verse 10 that God says to Jeremiah, "See, I have set you this day over the nations and over kingdoms." God says, "Behold, look, I have set you. I'm the one who's positioned you. I am the one who is giving you your position, and not only your position, but I've given you your assignment." Once you are aware of your position, you will be sure of your assignment, and vice versa. Leader, I'll say it again. Once you become aware of your position, you will be sure of your assignment. Or once you know your assignment, you will also know your position. And so it is God who positions us. He puts us in position to lead. He stations us. He places us in a position to lead. God chooses the environment. He chooses the people, and He sets us right in the middle of the people who become our assignment. This is also why He gives us influence with those people, because He's going to charge the people to follow, and He's going to charge you as a leader to lead, and God is going to develop you. You're going to grow into that leadership. You're not going to know everything all at once. You're going to grow into that, and that's what development is about. And so the leader must always be willing to be developed by God, positioned by God. Again, it's not man that gives you your position, and He cannot take it from you. It is God that positions you. It is God that calls you. It is God that ordains you. He has everything to do with your assignment. He has everything to do with your gifts. He has everything to do with your position. He has everything to do with the calling that is on your life. So He is going to give you the position. He said, "I've set you over," not under, not alongside. "I've set you over the nations and over kingdoms." And then He says in that same verse, and here's your assignment: to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant. And so God doesn't give you position without giving you an assignment. Your position of leadership is because God has an assignment. He doesn't give us position and title for us to flaunt it or to lord it over people. Remember, Jesus said, as He was teaching His disciples about leadership one day, He says, "Remember that the leaders among you, the great leaders among you, they lord their positions over you, but it shall not be so with you." We are to be servant leaders. And that's a whole different perspective. That's a whole different mindset than having a title or position from which you use as a platform to brag or manipulate people. Remember, leadership is about influence. Influence is about people. People is about relationship. And so we are going to relate to the people that God has given us influence over in order to lead them properly into the agenda, the plans, and the things of God. And our assignment is going to be made clear by the one who has called us to the assignment. He says to Jeremiah, "Here's your assignment: to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant." Point number four is God has to give every leader that He calls vision. He has to give them vision. And vision here in this context is seen in verses 11 through 13. God asked Jeremiah, "What do you see?" Not only does He ask him that once, He asks him that twice. Why? Because every leader has to have a vision. And if you're under leadership, your vision that God gives you is going to fit in the ultimate vision. So if you're serving in a church where you're under a pastor, God's going to give you a vision to fit into that pastoral vision or the vision for the house. It's not going to clash, it's going to collaborate. And so God must give the leader vision, because without vision, if God does not equip the leader with vision to accomplish the assignment, then the leader is just leading people into an oasis of confusion. And so you must have vision. You can't lead until you have vision. You have to have influence. You have to have a calling. You have to have vision, and you have to be equipped. And so without vision, people perish. And so God will provide the vision so that the leader has clarity on what to do, what direction to go in, what is the assignment. And then God not only gives vision, but point number four, God has to give with that vision revelation. And this is seen in verses 14 through 16. God reveals the assignment and his will to the leader. Without revelation, a leader has no clear understanding of the will of God. And if you look at verses 14 through 16, God begins to detail and outline what he is going to do and what his will is as it relates to the leader's assignment. God says to Jeremiah, I'm going to use you to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do thus and so. And so let's go over it again. The leader always must use his influence. So leadership is always about influence. And then number one, leader is called and ordained by God. He is both born and he is made because God develops him over a period of time. And then number two, God equips and empowers the leader. That's part of the development. That's part of him building you. He pours into you. He equips you. Number three, God will position the leader and give him assignment. You have your assignment. It comes from God. If you don't know what it is, God will reveal it to you. Four, God gives the leader vision. He asked Jeremiah two times, what do you see? And in verse 12, he says, you see well. You do see the vision. You are aware of what I revealed to you in the vision. And so you have to see the vision before you can lead into the vision. All of this is part of the leader's development. You may not know it right away. You may not see it right away. And you got to be okay with that. God will reveal it in time. He will release the vision in time. He will release the assignment in time. It's all in the timing of God, and you cannot rush the process. And the word process is something that you got to get familiar with. It's all a process. It's all a process. Let's move on. Again, I want to remind you of step five. God gives the leader revelation. If there's some things that cannot be known, they have to be revealed. And God will give you all the revelation you need. It cannot come by intellectual capacity. You're not going to learn it from a book. It has to be revealed. If you're reading the Word of God, God has to uncover it by His Holy Spirit. He must reveal what you're reading. He must reveal the principles. He must reveal the mysteries and the secrets that he has locked up in the instruction for your assignment. That assignment is for you. And so he will give you revelation. Number six, God wants us to participate in our development. God wants us to participate in our development. Leader, please don't ever overlook that. Don't ever think that God's going to do everything while you do nothing. When God calls you as a leader, when God ordains you, when he forms you and he's forming you and equipping you and building you and developing you, he wants you to also be preparing yourself. He wants you to also be engaged and activated. He wants you to be involved in your personal development. You have a responsibility to be the best that you know how to be the greatest leader you know how to be. And that is by engaging in learning all you can, being exposed to all you can, the good and the bad. There are some things God wants you to see so that you will know not to do that. There are some things God wants you to hear so you will know not to say that. There are some things that God wants you to be exposed to so you will learn from it, whether it's good or bad. But he wants you to be engaged. He doesn't want you sitting on a couch on autopilot waiting for him to do everything. For he tells Jeremiah in verse 17, prepare yourself. God requires the leader to participate in his own development. And you must embrace that process with gladness. Not complaining, but with gladness. Because you have to participate. I have to participate. I have to engage and get involved with God, with what he's doing in developing me to be the best leader that I can, the greatest leader I can. Point number seven, it is God who is ultimately developing you. For he says in verse 18 of Jeremiah chapter 1, I have made you. I will make you. I will form you. I will develop you. God says, I will build you. God develops the leader over the leader's lifetime. It's going to take God all your lifetime to develop you into what he wants you to be. You will always be learning, always be being shaped and formed by God. It doesn't stop because you will never know it all. I will never know it all. We will never know it all. We continue to progressively become, at the hand of God, what he wants to build us to become. Till the last day that we live on this earth, there's something to learn. And so God says, but I will make you. And so he ultimately gets the credit, the glory, for making us what we are to become. And that's why verse 6 is, we've got to engage with him and participate and realize that he's working in us, he's working on us, he's working for us, and he's working through us. He's working in us, he's working for us, he's working through us, and he gets all the glory and the honor, and we participate with him, but he's the one that makes us. How does God do that? That brings me to point number 8. How does God develop us? This is the part that most leaders are challenged by, because God often uses negatives to bring about positives. I think that's his way. One thing I've learned in my personal experience is often God uses the negative things in my life to bring about positives in me. God uses battles. God uses challenges. God uses opposition. And God uses obstacles in our life to make us the God-fearing, God-called, God-ordained greatest leaders that we can ever become. That does not happen by living on top of the mountain. That happens in the valley, where we have to fight, where we have to crawl, where we have to cry sometimes. The greatest leadership lessons are learned in the greatest adversity, in the greatest opposition, after the greatest or enduring the greatest battles of our life. That's the part that doesn't feel good. That's the part that we often don't like. That's the part that if we had a choice, we would say, God, I didn't sign up for this. And if I would have known, I wouldn't have signed up for it. But it's not something you sign up for. It's something that God calls you to. And so we have to also embrace how God chooses. So God allows us to have intense, tough battles. He allows us to go through very personal and corporate challenges. There are some challenges we have with ourselves. There are some challenges we have with the people. There are some challenges we have in life because of the situation or the circumstance. There are some challenges we have because of our enemy. But God allows all of it. And I say this to all leaders, you got to get used to and get comfortable being uncomfortable, because development always includes pain. And purpose always includes pain. But the greatest strength comes from the greatest battles, the greatest opposition. Let me put it like this. If you're going to the gym, you can't build muscle if you don't get up under those weights. You've got to get up under those weights and have some resistance to push against in order for your muscles to be torn down and then to regroup and to be built and developed while pressing against the resistance. In the same way, spiritually, God develops us by the battles we have, and he allows us to have them, by the challenges that we're confronted with, by the opposition that we're confronted with, and by the obstacles that we have to climb over or get around. All of it is part of the process of development that God uses. And we would not have it so, but God would have it so. And so again, we have to embrace the process, because God's making a great leader out of you by your battles. He tells Jeremiah, he says, they're going to fight against you. The very people that I'm sending you to preach to, the very people that I'm putting you in the midst of to lead, the very people that I'm putting you in the middle of so that you can be noticed and they can look toward you to get to know me and what I want from them. Those are the very people that are not going to believe you. They're going to fight against you. They're going to oppose you. They're going to be great opposition again. They're going to battle you. He says, but they shall not prevail. Listen to me, leader. There are some personal challenges we have to get over. We have to stop disqualifying ourselves. We have to think properly of ourselves in light of God and what he's called us to do. So stop saying, I can't, I can't. That vocabulary, God is slowly pushing that vocabulary out of you so that you start saying, I can do all things through Christ. That happens through development. With each battle you have, God shows you what you thought you couldn't do, you can now do as He strengthens you and as He delivers you. And every challenge that you have, whether it's personal or corporate, whether it's internal or external, God will get you through it because He's already made up His mind. He's called you to do this. And the callings and giftings of God are without repentance. God does not change His mind. Sometimes our personal challenges are because of what we struggle with. We're all struggling leaders. That's why our development is lifelong. That's why God never stops stretching us and pouring into us and allowing us to learn and allowing us to be opposed and fought against. It's because He's showing us that He is making us and He will deliver us. And let me tell you what I found out. God is not interested in quick deliverance. He's interested in long-term development. So stop praying for quick deliverance. Oh, I wish I didn't have to do this. I want to throw in the towel. And start looking at God's long-term development. He's got His hands on you. He's using all of your experiences, good, bad, and indifferent, to make out of you what you cannot become on your own. God says in verse 19, they will fight against you. And I've learned three things: that God either ordains it, He allows it, or He orders it. But whatever it is, He will use it for your good. And He will use it to develop you. And while He's telling Jeremiah that there's going to be some battles, some opposition, some challenges, some difficult people, because all of us know that as leaders, we always have people who won't cooperate, people who sometimes don't respect our calling, who don't validate us. And that's the other thing I want to say as a side note. Stop looking for the people to validate you. God has already validated you by the calling He has on your life. So God says this: while they're fighting you, while they're opposing you, while they're challenging you, while you're facing all these obstacles and opposition, be of good cheer. He said, for they will not prevail, for I am with you to deliver you. If God called you to do this, and He did. If God ordained you to do this, and He did. If God sanctified you and set you apart to do this, and He did, then He makes Himself responsible for building you, developing you by any means necessary, by keeping you, by positioning you, and by delivering you. He will always be with you. He will always deliver you. He will always cause you to triumph. He will always give you victory so that you can glorify Him in your assignment. And if you glorify Him, He will fulfill you. Let me tell you what I've learned as a leader. It's not always easy to lead people. It is even more difficult to lead leaders. But there is nothing more fulfilling than knowing you're walking in your calling, your assignment, and your ordination. There'll be many times you want to throw in the towel. There'll be many times when you want to just quit and forfeit the reward that God has for you. But I'm here to tell you, be encouraged. God's got your back. He's with you, and He is for you. Who can be against you? And the promise of God is, I am with you to deliver you. No matter what their faces look like, no matter how rebellious they are, how resistant they are, you will accomplish the assignment of God with God's help. And as you journey in this lifelong calling of being a leader, you'll experience very many ups and downs. But I want you to participate by embracing the process and having a yes, Lord, in your spirit, and let God form you. Let Him shape you. Let Him build you. Anything that is great is built over time. It is built by pressure. The greatest pain produces the greatest character. The greatest pain produces the greatest character. And God doesn't want you, He did not call you to be an okay leader. He didn't call you to be a mediocre leader. God called you to be a great leader. And so we will experience great pain, great purpose, great disappointment, great triumph, great challenges, great victory. But we have everything we need because God called us long before man appointed us or gave us a title. It is God who called us. And he called us before we were even conceived. He ordained us. He sanctified us. And he set us in position to do what we're doing right now. And so in this season, I want to encourage you, step into your calling. Move into your purpose. Move into your assignment and go lead the people into the things of the kingdom, into the promises of God, and by the agenda of God. Go out there and be a great leader. You've got every tool you need, every gift you need, and most of all, God's given you influence. There are some people that he's put you right in the middle of that you have influence over. It's a gift from God. Never abuse it, never misuse it. Go out there and use it to the glory of the one who called you, and be a great leader. This is Pastor Trevor, Leadership Lessons, and I hope you enjoyed this lesson. I hope it spoke to you. I hope it encouraged you. I hope it empowered you. And I hope you come back for more Leadership Lessons with Pastor Trevor Johnson. I'll be hearing from you and talking with you soon as we set up more workshops, more conferences, more classes under Trevor Johnson Ministries. We want to equip every leader to be the greatest leader that God has called him to be. God bless you. We want you to join us at Trevor Johnson Ministries, www.trevorjohnsonministries.com. And we will glory to God for all that you will become in this journey of leadership. I believe in you, and so does God. Now go out there and do great.